www.schnauzerlogic.com.
More fun than flushing the toilet while your spouse is in the shower.
Oh, sorry.
Schnauzer Logic.
Welcome back. We're 18 minutes into this episode of Schnauzer Logic. Robin Goldstein, host buddy and pal. www.schnauzerlogic.com or Robin at schnauzerlogic.com or also over on twitter.com/schnauzerlogic. You know me. I'm a straight white Buddhist vegetarian lesbian fraternity boy trapped in the body of a recovering transsexual woman patent attorney with a bizarre sense of humor and a master's degree in city planning. And during that last break, our good friend Sherry Stevens showed up. So let's say Sona Vista.
Well,
that didn't work.
We got nothing there, right?
Sona Vista?
Nope. You're not on.
All right. I'm out of here. Oh, no, I'm not.
All right. There you go.
Sona Vista.
Thank you. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Good. Welcome. You're in Parvisa's seat. So
I know. I'm a little nervous about it.
Yeah. Things are not actually sounding very good today. We'll have to figure out what's going on. That may be better.
I'm afraid to talk.
All right. Well, then mission accomplished. And let's say welcome back in Sona Vista, Jeff Morales.
Hey, Sona Vista.
All right, and of course, welcome back in Sona Vista to Mr. Bunjo himself, Sean DeColvin.
Sona Vista.
You checking your mail there? You're checking your stocks?
Okay.
How's your portfolio doing? Everything okay?
Everything's great.
All right, we don't want you to lose any money during this call. I mean, that's very important to us. You're the engine that drives this show. All right, so a couple of weeks ago, you mentioned to me that at Bunjo's, you had Rich Voss. And
yeah.
And that was, I had asked you whether you had anybody that we might know coming by, because you have tend to book mostly local comics. And you told me about Rich Voss, and it's like, well, fuck, I know Rich. Rich is amazing. Rich is a talented comic. You've definitely seen him on Last Comic Standing, Tough Crowd with Colin Quinn. He had his own Comedy Central special. He was on the Def Jam Comedy on HBO. Actually, the first white guy to perform on Def Comedy Jam. He's been at hundreds of clubs around the country. If you listen to Sirius XM, the Opie and Anthony show, as I do every morning with Little Jimmy Norton, you've heard him on there. I've seen Rich perform. He blows me away every fucking time. He's got the killer combination that you need to be a master in the world of comedy. He's funny, he's fast, he's fearless, and he's a Jew. And let's say, Sona Vista, welcome to Rich Voss. Welcome to Schnauzer Logic.
How you doing? Why do people call him Little Jimmy Norton? He's a fat little hump. Why don't they call him Plumpy Little Big Titty Scallop Norton? That's what he should be called.
Wait, go slow. I'm writing notes here.
Little Plumpy No Pigment Norton.
That's the Rich Voss we know and love.
Now, you guys you're based out of where? You're the West Coast right now.
We're
obviously.
In the West Coast, yep. We're out here in San Jose, California, and this is actually
cool.
Live and being streamed live now, and then it'll be available on a podcast up on iTunes and on our website, and I really want to thank you for being on with us today. I meant everything that I said. I have seen you perform, I've heard you perform, and it is that combination because in addition to just being a funny fuck, you are fast, but you're fearless, and it seems to me that really is the key to being successful in the business.
Well, no, thank you. And it's so funny because I'm fearless on stage, but in real life, I am fearful. You know, it's such a mask and a front when I get up there. Like, I'm such a tough guy. Please, I am a pussy, and I'm scared of everything. I'm a hypochondriac. I'm obsessive compulsive. Everything is wrong with me. Except when I go on stage, I'm like, you know, Mr. Fucking Tough Guy.
And we were talking to John right before you came on with us about that issue, and he said that he when he goes up on stage, he actually feels fearless. Did you get into comedy in order to have a place where you could feel like you mastered that space?
Well, no, I got into comedy because I failed at everything else I got involved in. And
no.
I wanted to meet girls, and I couldn't sing. I got into comedy because I love comedy, and it wasn't because I like, you know, nowadays you'll get all these comics and stuff, and they just don't know the history. They just think, you know, they just don't know comedy. Like, when I was a kid, that's all I did was watch comedy. Ever since I was like you know, 5 or 6 years old, you know, on Ed Sullivan, and come home from school and listen to comedy albums in fourth grade. So, I mean, I always loved comedy, and I studied it. You know what I mean?
I do.
You know, I watched and followed it. And when I first started comedy, I asked questions, and I watched comedy. Now I won't watch comedy, but so I got to it because I loved it. I loved comedy.
Do you remember the first comedian that you saw? I know that you're a fan of Lenny Bruce, as I am. I mean, I think people don't realize today just how important he was in changing comedy. Uh-huh. And I got to tell you, I think Lenny Bruce would be sad about the state of comedy today and the fact that a lot of comedians are not willing to tell the truth. They're willing to say the N-word. I mean, he was really out there for breaking those kind of barriers, and we've kind of pulled back the front line there.
I mean, my favorite when I was young, I mean, I'm talking fourth and fifth grade, you know, Ed Sullivan. I mean, I'm older. Like, I used to watch Ed Sullivan. Alan King back then, I thought was the funniest man alive. Mm. But then again, I was in fifth grade. So, you know, to me, comedy, funny comedy, just my opinion, is comics like Patrice and Colin and Louis C.K., you know, Doug Stanhope.
Yep.
Comics that really talk, for me, from the heart, not the head. I mean, head, you know what I mean? It's not optional. It's real. When
right.
you walk away, you know that person or how they feel or what they believe in. You know, I mean, a good joke writer and someone like Brian Regan, I think, is hilarious too. But it's a whole different realm of comedy. You know what I mean? You know, so I love watching someone like Colin or Patrice. You know, but then when it comes to joke writing and good, clever jokes. But, you know, my wife is one of the best joke writers in the business.
Bonnie McFarlane, who, if people don't know, you guys are married, and she is also hysterical. And I know that you guys, for a while, were performing together. Is that, I mean, obviously, you're married, you love each other, you've got kids, but is there competition between two comedians? I mean, I know that when two guys get together, they bust balls. Do you guys find that you deal with it on that level, or?
We always bust each other. I mean, when I'm on stage or whatever, she'll heckle me and we'll go back and forth, and she usually always wins, and I'm pretty quick, but she'll get, you know, she's really quick. There's not a lot of competition because we're not competing for the same thing.
Right.
She's happy when I get stuff. I'm jealous when she gets stuff. We're not competing. We're basically, you know, we have the same goal in life, to get rich and leave the other one behind. Basically, that's what we both have that in common. So, you know, we're working on stuff together now. We've done pilots. We've worked together in clubs. We don't go on stage together. We're not fucking Stiller and Mirror. It's internet.
Actually, these days, I don't know that anybody's fucking Stiller or Mirror, but...
Bonnie! last night, I was having sex with Bonnie's... I mean, she's really funny, but she has, like, a real flat ass. Last night, I was fucking her. Last night, I was fucking her from the con, and I really thought I was fucking Margaret Cho's face. I wanted to put blueberries and fucking whipped cream on her dumb ass. She's actually sexy. She put on a little nightie last night. This shit was fly. It was like a little polka dot nightie. She put on a polka dot nightie and a Jim Norton mask.
Oh, oh gosh. Great. Well, if anybody just tuned in, we're talking to Rich Voss, who is just a funny son of a bitch, a brilliant comic, and he's actually going to be at Magoobie's Joke House in Baltimore tomorrow? Is that right?
Thursday, Friday, and Thursday, Friday, Saturday in Baltimore. Yeah, it's called the Spiral Down Tour. I'm out west in August at Tommy T's.
Oh, cool.
In August.
Oh, you're already cheating on me. I got you that great gig. I took you out to play golf, and now you're going next door.
Well, I have to. Here's the deal. Sometimes have you ever played like chess? I'm sure sometimes you. I don't know. I've never played chess, so I can't use that as an analogy. I don't even know.
Sure
I don't know what to say. That would have been. Is there a fucking broad in there?
Yeah, there is.
Can you tell that dare to drop a baby and shut her mouth.
Been there, done that twice. Thanks anyway.
I'm only kidding with you.
I know.
Don Rickles, ladies and gentlemen. Don Rickles, ladies and gentlemen. Don Rickles.
I'm Don Wrinkles. What do you call it? That's how old I am. No, John, I had a great time. Of course, I'm going to take you to play golf. But, you know, sometimes you get an offer from a club that does weekends.
Oh, no, I understand.
And, you know, it's not the first time. I had a great time too.
And actually, seriously, the best time was playing golf. I didn't even care about the shows.
Oh, by the way, let me explain something to you real quick. When I say I had a great time with you, it doesn't mean the same as you saying you had a great time with me. Of course you had a fucking great time with me. It's something you could put on your resume, dummy. Okay? It's not like, oh, we both connected on the same level. No, jackass. Okay? I was stooping down to pretend I was at your level and like you. You know what I mean? And that's why I said I had a good time. Because, you know, there's nothing I like better than working a restaurant when somebody's ordering Mugu Guy pants in the middle of a punchline. You know?
I smell ringtone.
Oh, God. That was hilarious.
But, no, we had fun. We played golf on his course. And he's a good golfer, John. I'm telling you, if you could somehow transfer your golf, you know, how good you are at golf, into comedy somehow, you know what I mean? I'm telling you, you would work your way to Italian restaurant comedy clubs. It wouldn't just be all Chinese restaurants, because that's, you know how they are. Oh, God, they have the sense of humor of a tumor. Some waiters and waitresses.
God damn.
Maybe you want to have a moment of silence. I'm sorry I'm doing an interview.
No. We're having a good time here. But let me... if Bonnie wants to join in, she's welcome to pick up a line and be part of this hot mess here. That would be our pleasure.
I don't know if you know this about cell phones, but it's usually only 21. I don't know how it is when you're doing radio out of your fucking mom's basement. But...
Second bedroom, right. I'll have you know. Second bedroom, all my friend.
All right. I hope the person on his roof with the tin foil on their head and the aluminum bat up their ass gets this signal, because this is some funny shit right now.
And
that's all I'm saying.
Nicer equipment than I'm guessing half the radio stations that you walked into last year. I do have a legitimate question for you, and you mentioned it before. It's sort of in joke in passing, but I'm kind of interested in the business of comedy as well. Now, you and I both know that there are people that you don't need any names, who are not as funny as you are, who are not as smart or fast or as good writers as you are, but they're more successful in the business. And on the other hand, we know that there are people who are probably, I don't want to say they're funnier than you are, but they're certainly funny, or they're good writers, and they're not able to make it, right? They can't get that spark on. They can't make a career out of it. What do you think it is that kind of separates those things? And obviously, you know, you're in the middle of this business here. I mean, you got your feet in it. So from your perspective, like, what is it that makes that thing happen for some people or not for other people?
You know, it depends what you call successful. I mean, obviously, someone like Dane, you can't get any more successful, or Larry the Cable Guy. These guys are selling out arenas.
Right.
So that's success as a stand-up to the highest level that you possibly can do. You know, for someone on the road to them might be just doing a half-an-hour special, for somebody. You're not competing against other people. You're competing with yourself or your... Well, no, he asked me, what do you know, brother? Or your own goals. You know, for me, I like to do something every year forward, or something positive towards my career. You know, if I didn't do TV, like last year, I didn't do a lot of TV, but I came out with a new CD.
Right.
This year, I already did another special. You know what I mean? So if there's progression or whatever, and you're content, you know, what is success? Is it 100,000 a year? Is it 10 million? Is it... You know, you can get someone like one of these alternative comics that work in front of, you know, 20 people in L.A., but the whole alternative scene knows them around the country.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
So I don't know. I mean, I'm content where I am. Of course, I'd like to have a bigger bank account.
Sure.
And, you know, and it's like anything. Four years ago, I was doing theaters. This weekend, I'm doing Magoobies.
Two months ago, we did Bunjos.
Yeah, but you're going to be at Mohegan in a couple of weeks. I mean, you're up there all the time.
It's just like it's so. I mean, I could use a dumb analogy. It's so stupid. It's up and down. If it goes straight across, you're dead. You're flatlining. But yeah. You know, careers. You know, you see people come and go too. That you think, hey, look how successful they're gone. You know. But I've been doing this 27 years, so obviously, I'm mentally semi-retired in my head.
I mean, this is some real. But this is some real wisdom. I mean, did this dawn on you along the way? I mean, was this kind of part of the process of becoming, you know, Rich Voss the adult? Or, I mean, because you talk to younger, you know, young comedians, you see people that are trying to get into the business, and you know, it's basically Seinfeld or bust as far as they're concerned.
Well, they don't know because they haven't. Of course, everybody has a dream when they first start, but they don't know. They haven't even gone down the path or any obstacles or dealt with anything. So when you first start in, you know, you start a job, you go, I'm going to be president of this company someday. Of course, you think, well, I'm going to be Seinfeld. I remember when I started, I was cocky, okay? But now, to me, like, I love doing stand-up. Right now, we're driving, my wife and I are driving, we're just going to go do an open mic night. You know, we get out of the house, go do an open mic. Wow. Work on some material. I love doing stand-up. Okay, so everything else besides stand-up is a bonus, like television and Last Comic and Spectre, a bonus, but you need those bonuses to keep you out in the clubs and keep your face out there. But to buy, you know, like, true comics never really quit comedy. They do comedy until they're, you know, dead, until they're, you know, you go to the Friars Club or see some of these shows, these guys are, you know, 300 years old, still doing stand-up, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I love doing stand-up. I've always loved, you know, I'll tell you a story. When Chris Rock hosted the Oscars, I was one of the writers.
Right.
So I'm backstage at the Oscars that year. My wife and I, after the Oscars, go to the Governor's Ball.
Sure.
You know, it's one of the biggest moments of my life and career, you know, in the entertainment business. The gift basket, the Oscar gift basket, everything that goes around with the Oscars. Some of the things I wrote got on the show, meeting, whatever. So that was a Sunday night. Monday, the following night, I went to an open mic in Los Angeles and bombed in front of five people in the audience. Okay? And that was reality. I didn't have to do that, but I like doing comedy. So,
right.
You know, I went from the highest high to, these seven Europeans don't get what the fuck I'm saying. But it was fun. It was fun for me. Both nights were fun. You know what I mean?
So that seems to be the key. You seem to have fun every time you're up on stage, regardless of whether the audience is digging you or not.
Yeah. I mean, the other night, I was at some club in St. Augustine, and the second show was really late, like 50 people.
Right.
I did an hour and a half, but I did all crowd. I did, you know, hardly any material. I just ad-libbed, you know, did crowd work and had fun with it.
Sure, sure.
You know, it was a good time. I mean, some lady cried, but you know what? You can't win a medal.
In many circles, that's success.
She was the one from the one in St. Augustine, Florida. The one lady that's crying after the show is from L.A. Of course she's crying. We loved you on TV. We voted for you. Oh, shut up. That's okay. All right. You voted for me. Well, you put down your chicken wings and called them and voted. Nobody cares. Go dip your arm in cheese and have a fucking cheese log arm sandwich. Creep. Nobody cares about you, fat. So, anyhow, what I'm saying is, it was fun. I know that was kind of mean, wasn't it? I was just attacking all. You know, have you ever seen? Listen, I don't know. You guys could be the heaviest crew on the planet, for all I know. And most like, if you're in radio,
you're not even be there anymore, for all you know.
What do you mean they're not there anymore? They didn't hang up on you. You hang up on me?
Fuck no, we didn't hang up on you.
Okay, well, listen, you guys might be big people because most big people are. I mean, radio, you know, you're on radio, so you don't really have time to exercise, so you have an excuse.
Yeah, thanks, Rich. Yeah.
Well, did you watch Oprah? No, not Oprah. What was it, Nightline? Nightline, where they had the...
I always get those mixed up.
What's that?
I said I always get those two mixed up.
Yeah. Did you, when they had the two, the skinny people arguing against the fat people? Did you see a Nightline the other
night?
No,
is this about the whole Kevin Smith thing?
No, well, he did do that, and of course. Hey, well, what are the odds that Kevin Smith gets thrown off a plane a week before his fucking movie's coming out? Who would have guessed? I guess those 40 meatloaf milkshakes before you got on the plane didn't help boost publicity. He's my friend. I met him twice. Right? He's such a good fucking friend. How come I'm not in any of his movies? Right? Old dumb Norton coattail hanger on. I'm not lashing out. Bonnie says I'm lashing out.
No, you know,
I'm going to push her out of the car. She's really fucking up my interview.
This is therapy. This is you're doing a great job. We're talking to Rich.
What's that?
We're talking to Rich Voss, and we're listening to Bonnie. And this is Schnauzer Logic. Robin Goldstein, Sherry Stevens, Jeff. John DeCoven, Jeff Moranis. Fuck you. I know who you are. You're just never fucking time. God damn it.
What can we do as me as an entertainer and you guys, whatever the fuck you call yourself, what can we do to get this girl out of prison in Italy? That's what I watched on Oprah yesterday. I really think she's innocent. This Amanda, whatever her last name.
So I don't know. I don't know the story.
Oh, no, you know the story. The college girl who they say murdered the roommate in Italy. You don't know that story?
Oh yeah, she's still in jail. Okay.
It was a whole sex thing.
Yeah.
She's still in jail. Yeah, for 25 and a half more years. Man, I feel really bad about this. All right, let's move on.
He caught me off guard. He was so sincere.
You get Bob Dylan to write a song about it, I guess. I don't know. Worked for Hurricane Carter. I don't know the story. When I said I don't know the story, it means I don't know the story.
Okay.
So now, do you sit home and, I mean, because obviously you work at night. Do you sit home during the day and see random shit on TV and think that would be good to write? Do you write your material? I mean, are you kind of, you know, some comedians, comics, they keep a notebook and they're just constantly jotting shit down. Other people, they just keep it in their head. I mean, what's your process on this?
Basically in my head, or I just write down two words that will remind me.
And that's all you need.
I come up with my stuff on stage or it comes to me or whatever. Or, you know, it just comes, you know. My new one is I'm trying to work on this Cash for Clunkers bit I'm writing, which is, you know, ridiculous because it's basically just a trade-in, you know, and how the American public, and I read a bit on it, but I just put down on my notes or on my phone, Cash for Clunkers, and I know the bit.
And that's what you need to get going on it. Yeah, and you start riffing and then see how the audience responds.
Yeah, and this is, when I work, you'll never see the same show twice. You'll see some of the same material, obviously.
Sure.
Like, I'm not that kind of comic, because I'd lose my mind if I was doing that word by word.
No. I mean, that's what you said before about, you know, Colin and Patrice and the people that I really find funny. I mean, not just that I admire them, but I find funny is that these people basically create an alternative universe. They kind of bring you inside their head. It's a little bit off of the real universe, and it's funny as a son of a bitch. And like, you go on that ride with them, and when you're doing it, I'm going on this ride with you. When you're performing, whether it's on the radio, whether it's, you know, on stage, I'm on the ride with you. I'm in your head. I'm on the ride with you. It's a strange world, but I'm there with you in real time. And if it was the same ride every day, it would be boring for everybody involved. So, I mean, I definitely get that.
And it wouldn't be fun. I mean, whatever.
Sorry about that.
That's all right. Don't worry. It's just come on your chin.
and I'm going to wipe my fucking chin now because I'm thinking, oh my god, there's cum on my chin. Thank you, Rich. So I'm guessing
wiped up, which is a little scary.
So I'm guessing that I have not looked through your entire biography, but I don't think that you've been on Inside the Actor's Studio with Jim Lipton yet. Is that right?
Yeah, I'm going to get on that for the 3 minutes in a fucking F movie I've been in. Do they use a lot of comics? I know Chappelle was on that, but do comics, a lot of comics get on that?
Not a tremendous number. A lot of writers and performers. I don't know that he's had quite as many.
How come they never ask him the real questions?
Well, so...
Yeah, that's what we're doing, having a conversation.
God forbid.
since I figure that... Ahead. Yeah, so I mean, so since I... I'm sorry. No, you talk. So, I mean, since I figure that probably neither one of us is going to be on that show anytime soon, I wanted to ask you the questions that Lipton asks at the end from that Bernard Pivot questionnaire each week. So, we got the 10 questions. You willing to give me some answers on them?
All right, let's see if I can do this.
All right, here you go. What's your favorite word?
Food.
All right.
I'm going to take it, too.
Are you going to take it, too? What's your least favorite word?
My least favorite word would probably be, can it be two words or has it be just one?
Sure, no, that's fine.
Insurance, right now it would be insurance.
Okay, well, that's just one word.
Yeah, well, I was going to say health insurance.
Okay.
Which would be two. Thank you.
All right.
Are these supposed to be real or funny?
No, I think they're just real. No, this was Marcel Proust developed this questionnaire, I think, to try to get to an essence of a person. And then Bernard Pivot, well, I don't know why. None of my audience will understand any of this shit. So.
And then what do? Feed it into a computer?
No, it's supposed to give you some insight. I don't. It's a jumping off point for. Okay. What turned you on?
All right, let's start over.
I know. All right, you want to start over?
Yeah.
All right, what's your favorite word?
Food. No,
much better.
Yeah, but I believed him that time.
My favorite word.
He was invested.
My favorite word. What's that? Bonus.
I think he said boners?
Bonus.
Bonus. Bonus is his favorite word. Okay, cool. Bonus. What is your least favorite word?
Insurance.
All right. What turns you on?
A good round of golf.
What turns you off?
A bad round of golf.
What turns me off?
Yeah.
Liberal radio.
What sound or noise do you love?
Car door slamming on my wife's finger.
All right. What sound or noise do you hate?
Her saying I'm okay. What sound or noise? Wait. A dentist drill.
That's a good one.
All right. That is a good one. Yeah. What is your favorite curse word?
I guess I would have to say...
Come on.
Fuck, I guess.
All right.
I don't know. I guess, I mean, I don't know. Curse word. My favorite curse word? No, don't say that. Jeez.
And it could only be one.
Did I say my favorite curse word?
Yeah, you can say anything you want.
Well, there's only so many curse words. It's what? Fuck, shit, bitch. No, cunt's not a curse word. That's not a curse word. That's a part of the female anatomy. Curse word. It's not a curse word. No one ever goes, you cunt off. No one ever goes,
another ringtone.
You're going, oh, look at that fucking cunt. The curse word would be fucking. That's the adjective. Cunt would be the noun.
Ah. Okay, so for those of you who are diagramming that sentence.
Right. I'm no scientist, but I don't think cunt is in the biology encyclopedia.
I think we can just stop.
Well, it's not a curse word. Do you think they had that back in the days? Hello?
What? Yeah, we're sure. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right,
that
was
longer.
All right, well, we're
going
to wrap this up. Okay, what's the next question?
Well, no, we're doing good here. What profession other than your own would you like to attempt?
Probably psychology or drug counselor.
What profession would you not like to do?
I guess internet radio host.
You cunt.
At least you could be a man and curse at me.
And the 10th question, if heaven exists, what would you like to hear God say when you arrive at the pearly gates?
We're all sold out.
Two item minimum.
The interview's over.
Rich, I really do want to thank you so very much for agreeing to be a guest on our shitty little podcast today.
It's not shitty. It's fun. It's fun. This is a good way to. I'm almost at my destination.
Outstanding. So
this, you know. Listen, come out and see me at Tommy T's. John, we'll play golf when I'm out there. We'll go out to Half Moon Bay.
Give me a call.
All right. Rich, thank you so very much. Really do appreciate it. I mean it from the bottom of my heart. I'll send you a link to the clip of this segment so that you can you can have
it. You know what? You ever hear the recycle bin? Why don't you just send it straight to my recycle bin?
Yeah. I'll send it to Norton. He'll know what to do with it.
All right. Thanks, you guys.
Thank
good
you,
luck
my
with
friend.
Everything.
All right. Thanks very much. Have a great
day. Wait, real quick.
Yeah, sure.
New special coming out this summer called Comics Anonymous.
Oh, outstanding. All right, cool. We'll make
right,
a note
cool.
of it. Maybe we can bug you again then.
Maybe we can watch it together.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, my friend.
Wait.
Have a great
day. Thank you.
Thank you, Rich. Bye bye.
We're not friends.
That wasn't me.
Okay, goodbye.
Bye bye. There you go. And that's how you play Schnauzer Logic.
Wow.
But you see how he warmed up.
Yeah.
Because at first I thought you were kind of thinking like, oh, what the fuck?
Not at all.
Oh,
no.
Really?
I thought it went great.
You seemed a little worried.
Not at all.
No? Okay.
Not even for a second.
Okay.
No?
No.
Okay.
No, the worst interview I ever had was fucking Kip Adada hanging up on me.
No, I didn't mean that.
That was a nightmare.
No, I didn't mean in the interview. I mean, when you got him on the phone, you looked at me like...
Yeah, but you never know when you're calling somebody on the phone. You don't know, like, they're in the middle of something, they're going to... I mean, he was on his cell phone, he was going, I'm guessing, from his home to his car. You know what I mean?
So
you catch people in the middle. The days of everybody sitting someplace by a real phone with a cord on it, I mean, I was such a goof, I told him to go pick up the other line.
Right. Well, that's what I was thinking. Like, you know, they don't... You know, the thing is, kids nowadays have no idea what that's... Remember in our days, right?
Yes.
You'd say, hey, get on the other line.
Yes. Remember, okay, I'm older than you are. I do remember
right.
All right. A funny son of a bitch.
That was a good interview.
That was good.
And that's why you were kind of saying, like, come in, but I wanted you to kind of do your thing with him because it was such a good interview.
Well, I meant everything that I said. He's a funny son of a bitch. I love him on Opie and Anthony. He is game for anything that they throw at him fucking time. And when he's on the show, it's just better.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a great show, and and when he's on, it's a better show.
And he's right. He really is. He loves comedy.
Yeah.
I mean, and, you know, even at Bunjo's, you know, the one thing. This is a serious. I was going to say this when he was on, but it's hard to be serious with him. He did two shows. They were both different, just like he said. And the great thing is, it was a small room.
Right.
And you were right there with him, which was great for us. But most people can't see a guy like that because he's going to be... I mean, even Tommy T's, he's going to have 300 people. He's going to be up on a high stage.
So what you're saying is we would enjoy him better if he were sitting in Sherry's seat.
He would definitely... Well, when he did the show even there, he sat on a stool most of the time.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just very intimate, but it was so funny.
You racist. All right.
Okay. I missed that one.
I don't know. We've got to take a break. Thank you, Rich. Rich Voss. RichVoss.com. We'll put all the links on the website. He's got a CD. Let's see. I have the name of the CD. I meant to plug that. The CD is called I'm Killing Here. We'll put links for the CD. We'll put links for his YouTube page and his Facebook page and all that bullshit. You'll be able to know everything there is about Rich Voss. And if you haven't heard of him before, you've heard of him now, and you know that he's somebody that you ought to be following because he's a funny son of a bitch. All right, here's what we'll do. We'll take a break. We'll play some more songs. We'll come back on the other side, and we'll talk about stuff and nonsense. You are listening to Schnauzer Logic. Robin Goldstein, Sherry Stevens, John DeCoven, and Jeff Moranis. All inviting you to please stick around.
Viva, viva, viva la radio. Stick around for more Schnauzer Logic.